I see Naftali's name. I don't know if you can hear us, Naftali, but what is the chus if you're with us today? Okay, Chavra. Last time we started a new parak. By the way, Yossi, before you get off this meeting, let me send you in the chat the link to today's meeting. I don't know if I'll be able to do that, actually. No, I'll just email it to you, the Shir meeting, all right? Okay, Chavra, so last time we started Perek Zion, and we are up to Pisgah Bet. For those of you who do not know, it is very easy to find Orot HaTorah online. I think they even have, there's one version with Nikudot, which makes it that much easier. Bittul Torah Nechshav L'chol Adam L'fi Madregato. Rav Kook says here that Bittul Torah, there's no one uniform standard for Bittul Torah. Hold on one second, Chaver. There's just something I'm doing. Okay, so there's no one uniform standard of Bittul Torah, meaning when do you cross that line into the realm of a time that could have been used for Limud Torah, and you're wasting that time? There's no one uniform standard for everybody. I just want to check my audio. Can you guys hear me okay? Just give me a sign, because none of you are moving. All of you are frozen. Can someone just give me a hand sign that you guys hear me? Okay, great. Okay, awesome. So Rav Kook says, how do you know that you've transitioned from the world of I'm using my time wisely to the world of I'm now wasting my time, and I'm now transgressing the very stringent this or Bittul Torah? There's no one clear road sign that's the same for everybody. It's not like an Isser like Treif or an Isser like Chilul Shabbos, where there's one standard, and if you do Borer on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference who you are. It doesn't make a difference your background, your abilities, how close you are to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how distant you happen to be. It's uniform for everybody. However, when it comes to Bittul Torah, everyone has their own red line. And everybody's red line is Lefi Madregaso. That means when the Ribbono Shel Olam judges us for Bittul Torah, he does it according to our own Madrega. Umi Shiyochol La'alot B'machshavto L'Madrega Gedola. V'hu Mitatzel O Mitpached. This means, says Rav Kook, that those of you who are capable of attaining a greater level than the norm. You have the Madrega of the Stam guys. You have like the general Mahalach, you know, that most guys have. But if you have an ability to go beyond that, and you're capable of reaching a higher Madrega, And despite that greater ability that you've been blessed with, you are lazy or you are fearful. We're going to talk about that word in a few minutes. Either because of atzlut, you're lazy, or because of pachad, you're fearful. You do not strive to reach the madrega that's unique to you. Umo'es b'ma'alato ha'elyona. And you despise that greater madrega that God has opened before you. He's opened the gates specifically in front of you because you are capable of going that extra mile. You're capable of greater strides than the amcha, than the masses. And what do? You decide to make this uniform line between you and the masses. You look around you and you're like, well, this is what everybody is doing. So what I'll do is I'll just draw this line. I'll just equate myself with what the masses are doing. Umeiniach et atzmo liyot lamata. And you allow yourself to remain at a lower level than you specifically as an individual are capable of. Hareuhu mo'es et Torat Hashem hareuya lo. What you're doing is you're despising the Torah of God that He has given specifically to you. Now, if you ask me, this is one of the scariest passages in Orot HaTorah. This is some really serious mussar. Because what's Rav Kook saying here? He's saying something that scares me very much. You can have a guy who's maybe even the biggest masmid in yeshiva. He's learning 3 sdarim a day. He's learning 60 minutes an hour. And it may be that he's at the top of the shir, or the first guy to finish the Masechta. And it looks like from the outside that this guy is mamish shtark. This guy's for real. He's a tzaddik and everyone's praising him. But Rav Kook says, what if this individual was capable of more than that? What if this person, the madrega that was available to him, was greater than the madrega that he strived for? What does that mean about this person's status? Rav Kook says it's not like he's done 80 or 90% of the job. I tremble when I say this. This person was Moes B'Torat Hashem Haru'uya Lo. This person has decided to grasp somebody else's Torah. He hasn't begun to be Osek in his own Torah. He hasn't even begun to reach out and grab the Torah Hashem Hareuya Lo. He's been satisfied with somebody else's Torah. But that's not why you were placed in this world. If God wanted you in this world to learn someone else's Torah, if that's what He had in mind for you, He doesn't need you. He's got that other person. Why would He create two people to strive for the same exact way of life? He created you differently because there's a Torah Haru'uya Lo. Listen to the words in Rav Kook. This person has a unique Torah Shereuya Lo. And if you're satisfied with the Torah Hareuya Le'acherim, it doesn't mean you've done 80 or 90% of the job. You are considered a Moes. You're a Moes B'Torat Hashem Hareuya Lo. The Torah that God has assigned to you is actually despised by you. Now, mo'es is a very, very chamor expression. This is a very serious and chamor expression. Where do we have in the Torah this verb of mo'es? Vayim asu. Where do we have the Jewish people despising something? And does it ring a bell to anyone? Vayim asu. Vayim asu. Now that I think about it, it's not a pasuk in Torah, but there's a parak in Tehillim that goes through all the events of the desert. Somewhere in the Kufs in Tehillim, there's a parak in Tehillim that goes through all the events of Yitzias Mitzrayim in the desert. And one of the terms there is Vayim Asu Be'eretz Chemda. It's speaking about the spies. The spies, the Meraglim, despised Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Kook uses the same verb. Why does it say they despised it? They didn't want to have any chelek in it. Vayim Asu Be'eretz Chemda. We don't want to have any share in Eretz Yisrael. That's what despising means. Lim'os means I don't want to have any chelek or any share in this. So what's Rav Kook teaching us when he says, if we're satisfied with second best, with the Torah that's not really ours, we were capable of more. What's Rav Kook trying to teach us when he says this is mo'es et Torat Hashem haru'uya lo? This is an utter rejection. You have despised the Torah of God that He has given you. That means you haven't even begun your avoda. When you look around and you say, if He's doing it, then I'm satisfied with this as well. And you're aware that you're capable of more. This is Mo'es et Torat Hashem haru'uya lo. It's not like you've done most of your tafkid. You haven't even begun your tafkid. You haven't begun your tafkid in life. This is very, very chamor. Shal zeh ne'emar, shaviter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al avodah zarah gil arayus shvichas damim, velo viter al ma'asa shel Torah. The Gemara says, it's a Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says that God is even willing to overlook on the big three. He's willing to find the kochos, kiviyochol, to be soleach u'mochel. He's willing to have rachamim for the big three averos. Avodah zarah, gil arayus, u'shvichas damim. Velo viter al ma'asa shel Torah. That God is unwilling to be forgiving when it comes to mi'us of Torah. What's Rav Kook teaching us here? That there are two madrigos. There's bittul Torah, and then there's a higher level of mi'us ha-Torah. Mi'us ha-Torah, to despise Torah, we usually associate that with people who have no desire to learn. If before today's shir in Orot ha-Torah, I would play with you an association game. And I would say, think of a person or at least a type of individual who you associate with Me'isa Shel Torah. You might probably think about some, you know, secular Jew, some anti-religious person, you know, someone who's fighting against the yeshivot. You know, one of these anti-dati, who needs yeshivot in Israel? Who needs limud Torah in the Jewish people? What's Rav Kook teaching us here? You could be a starker bacher yeshiva, and you could still be mo'es b'torah. How is that possible? Because when you look into yourself, and you realize the madrega that you're capable of, you realize that you have kochos that your friends from high school, maybe they didn't have. Rav Kook says you're not supposed to suppress that emotion and say, that's probably just gaiva. I'm probably just the same as everybody else. You're not allowed to do that. You have to recognize I'm not like all my friends from the past. I have kochos that they don't have. And I'm going to strive to realize those kochos, to actualize them. Rav Kook, I think, would say it's gaiva to voice that in public and say, you know, I'm so much more capable than those people. To flaunt that is an act of gaiva. But to recognize in your heart that I've got something, I have a greater sensitivity, I have a greater chibur, I'm capable of a higher madrega. This is not gaiva, this is incumbent upon that person who has this extra ability. It is incumbent upon him to recognize that. That's not gaiva, that's his basic obligation. Because if he doesn't strive for more, if he plays that down, he says, I'm probably just like everybody else, let me just do what they're doing. You're actually moes b'torah tashem ha-re'uya lo. You could be learning Abaye and Rava, Tosfos and Reb Chaim's. But it's moes b'torah tashem. You have despised your Torah. Because you are capable of doing that much more. And you're holding yourself back. There are two words in this passage that I think I'd like to just zoom in on. Pardon the pun. I want to zoom in on here. Rav Kook gives two reasons why a Bachar Yeshiva may be satisfied with the Madrega, with the common Madrega of the Klal, and not want to realize and actualize his kochot. Reason number one, says Rav Kook, mitatzel. He's too lazy to do it. Very interesting things on Netflix. They got some great series going on now. Mitatzel. It's much easier to take that very, you know, that very convenient break just to do nothingness. It's much more easier to do that than to be toreach over a Gemara or over a Maharal and to try to break your teeth and try to grasp the lesson here. So that's reason number one. Sometimes it just stems from atzlus. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, yeah, we could be better, but it's just too hard, Ribono Shel Olam. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing 80%. Rav Kook says that atzlus, that equals a me'isa of Torah Hashem haru'uya lo. You are actually rejecting the unique chelek in Torah that God is giving you. However, that second verb, I remember learning this for the first time and thinking to myself, what's that second verb? Why does Rav Kook say mitpached? If a person doesn't strive for his individual excellence, either because of atzlut or of pachad, why would pachad hold me back? Why does fear, what is there to be scared of? I understand it's much easier to spend 2 hours being Megalgel YouTube videos, much easier to do that than to do my morning seder. That I understand. That's called atzlus. But what's that second verb? Some people hold themselves back from realizing their potential and their greatness because of pachad. Anyone want to suggest what Rav Kook may be referring to? What is there to be scared of? Anyone have an idea? What do you think, Noah?
Could it have anything to do with a fear of once I start doing it and being osik in it, I'm going to know what I'm really capable of. And once I know what I'm really capable of, now sometimes it might lead to that laziness and me not wanting to achieve that level of the capability.
No, then it would have been enough to say mitatzel. If it at the end of the day, it's always laziness. If it always goes back to laziness, he would have said mitatzel. So what's mitpached? What do you say, Yossi?
I think it's a sort of two different things. One is that it could be how the person's gonna be afraid of others perceive him, because maybe he'll be like, he'll become a lot more serious. Like, oh, this guy's like not fun anymore. Like, what's wrong with him? Why is he acting so differently?
Okay,
Maybe
that's
afraid of
good.
that. I also think that if the person maybe he may, in a sense, at the beginning at least, be scared of, like, he may not realize, like. I think Sora knows that it's not late. It doesn't feel laziness. He'll be scared of what he can achieve, meaning that he knew that somehow he had the ability, but didn't realize how much. And it's scary how maybe he'll look back how much he wasted, and that's going to scare him even more because he's spending so much more time.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Yossi, I can't take your comment, Yoni, because we only have 2 minutes. But let me say two mahalchim, two possible perushim in this Rav Kook. Number one, Yossi mentioned, perhaps we're scared of what people are going to think. We have this natural fear. If I really realize my potential, I know I'm capable of more. But what are the chevra going to think? And what are they gonna say behind my back? In other words, Rav Kook is warning us: if you're capable of excellence, you should just be thinking about what the Ribono Shel Olam is gonna think. Don't pay any attention to that pachad of what people are gonna think. We're standing in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's possibility number one. But I wanted to suggest also possibility number two. There's another pachad. I think people deep down inside are afraid to give up the things they grew up with. And people realize if I really strive for the excellence I'm capable of, I know I can get there, but I'm going to have to give up A, B, and C. And fill in those blanks. Everyone's got their own A's and B's and C's that is very difficult to part from. This isn't atzlut anymore. This is a different koach ha-nefesh. This is like, I know I can do this. I'm not going to the Netflix because I'm lazy. I'm going to the Netflix because I know what happens when you really build a strong chibur with Torah. What about the things I grew up with? What about my routine? What about those things that I really enjoy that I know are mutually exclusive with Torah? I know that the two can't dwell together in the same heart. So I think this may be what Rav Kook means. Sometimes we're full of pachad because we know what that strong connection with Torah is going to mean in my life. I'm going to have to leave some things behind that it's difficult for me to part from. So Rav Kook is warning us, if you make that choice because of that pachad, don't think you've done 80 or 90% of the way. You've been mo'ez b'torat Hashem ha'reuya lo. You've despised your chelek in Torah that God has assigned you. If you ask me, that's much scarier than having to give up certain things about our past that maybe are holding us back. So we should be zocha together, Rabosai, not to be moes chas v'sholom b'mi'isa shel Torah, but rather like it says in the bracha of Ahava Rabba Avtanu, v'seim v'lubeinu bina lahavinu lahaskil. Give us, he should place yira and ahava in our hearts, that the Torah should bring us to our full potential. We shouldn't leave any of our capabilities or talents behind. And we should be zocha li'ahavo li'yira eshomecha. Shekoach rabosai. Yossi, I'm going to send you the email for the shiur meeting now, okay? Shkoya chevra, have a great week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye-bye.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Rabbi.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yoni?
Later.
Is it just me, or was that absolutely horrifying?